I found, again, I found a lot of these references, these books, and I had Brother Scott order some of these, and I appreciate him doing that for us, because he found these author, or I found these authors of these works inside this Baptist, this biography on Baptist hymn writers. And inside of there had all these other works in there. So we just, and it's an amazing thing to live in the world today to where you can literally, if there's a book out of print, you can go Amazon Demand or whatever it is, whatever group is out there, and they'll print that book for you and send it to you very quickly. That's for pennies on the dollar compared to what it used to be to get things. So that's a blessing to have that. And I want to fill, I got to be careful about saying this, but I want to fill my library and the church's resources with these old Baptist works that are out there. Because, I mean, I have things from Puritans, and I have things from Protestants, and I have things from, but it is very difficult to find Baptist works. And I don't mean the modern-day fundamentalist ones, because most of those are just really super boring and shallow. But they have nearly no depth to them.
Right.
But to get the old stuff that Baptists wrote and everything else, and we found a bunch of them. In that book, I found a bunch of them, and more that's going to come, Lord willing. So anyway, we just praise the Lord for that. But we're going to finish up on this. We want to talk about children. And, you know, the Bible verse that we focused on was, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's very important. Let me pray and get into it. I want to say a few things to you before we get into this. But Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we just pray you be with us now. And Father, it should help us to really love our children and be concerned with their welfare and their future. Help us, Father, please, to be the parents and to be the church that would honor and glorify you and raise these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, just the events of this weekend, I did a video about this Oakland shooter. And I don't know if you got time to watch it, but when you get a chance, watch it. I just talked a little bit about, you know, why things like this happen, basically. And I'm not going to get into that. You can watch that. But the point is, with that, is we have to be careful to raise our children right. I mean, we have to train them right. We have to love them. We have to probe their heart. We have to pray for them. And we have to ask God to probe their heart. And we have to really make sure that we help them as best we can and try to get to their heart. You know, the Bible talks about, my son, give me thine heart. And it also says to attend unto my ways, right? For them. So we show them not only by what we say, but by what we do. So it's important how we act and how we teach them and everything else. And, you know, teach them to respect authority. Teach them to love other people and everything like that. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we've already talked about, but go back and listen to that video if you get a time. I think it's like an hour long or something like that, but you can get through the gist of it all the way through the first like hour, basically, and then after that you can cut it off. But you can see that some things there. But I'm very burdened about this with our children. I'm very burdened about that. Extremely, and then God is growing that burden by the week, and that's why you're seeing me do more with the children than I did before. And the reason why is I believe God has prepared this for that reason, because they are the future, and God has showed me that the strength of this church is the Holy Spirit, obviously, and the Scriptures, but also it's the future that God has, that you and I we're going to go the way of all the earth. We're going to die someday. The legacy that we leave behind is in this room. That is the legacy that we leave behind. So we need to make sure that we take great care in how we grow the plants and that we're very careful. And it matters what we do. Everything. It matters what we do. So section 6 we're on here in John Fawcett's book, Train Up a Child in Obedience to Just Authority. As he should be taught to obey God, so also to honor the king, to respect the laws of his native country, to give honor to whom honor is due, and fear to whom fear. He should be constantly required to yield submissive obedience to those whose care he is committed, for his instruction in government, and particularly inculcate upon his mind the great duty of obeying his parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So we want to teach them the principle of obedience to authority. Now, we understand that we also, with that, teach them what's proper and what's improper, right? About those things. Like, there's not a, you know, we don't submit to sin and wickedness and evil and all those sorts of things, right? We obey God over all other authority. But also, but with that, that doesn't make us a worse parent or child or pastor or church member. It makes us better if we have the right spirit, right? But we teach them to obey their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother is the first command with promise. The curse of the living God is denounced against him that setteth light by his father or his mother. If you would induce the child to obey your commands and follow your advice and instructions, you must be careful to keep your place and maintain your authority. You must do nothing which may tempt the child to set light by you or to think meanly of you. Avoid everything silly and mean in his presence, but speak and act in such a manner as to secure his reverence of you and to engage his esteem and love. This requires great circumspection. So there's a time for, you know, sobriety, seriousness, you know, a time that we show our children what's more important. What are the most important things? Parental authority is maintained by observing a happy medium between too much lenity on the one hand and too much severity on the other. Boy, what a balance we have to learn. Is this something that we have to learn, right? We can be too lenient in some ways and just too severe in others. You sometimes learn that better the more children you have as time goes by. Sometimes you're so completely rigid, and then you learn to soften up just a little bit. You got to make sure you don't soften up too much, but you learn not to be so rigid about everything that just makes the child feel like they're a Jew and you're the Egyptian taskmaster and you've got the whip in your hand and you're ready to strike at any moment, right? That's no way for a child to live. They shouldn't live that way, and their parents shouldn't be that way. The affections of the child should be secured if possible. That means the heart. You teach your children to love by loving them. If you are cold, if you are indifferent, if you are hard, then you will raise children who are cold and indifferent and hard. That's the way it goes. If you are not soft and tender and affectionate, then neither will they be. Don't look at them and wonder why there's a hardness there when you're not affectionate and tender. Because it's going to be there. Why? Well, that's the only example they have. So that's what they're going to follow. There needs to be a tender affection and a loving kindness that's there as well. The affections of the child should be secured if possible. When this is done, a very important point is gained in the business of education. Then the child will consider his father and his mother as his best friends and hearken to them accordingly. Much of the same way he is be said of a judicious tutor to whom the education of the youth is entrusted. So what he's saying is that basically, once you have your child's heart, they're going to listen to you better and you're going to be able to better instruct them. But if you don't have their heart, all you are is just like a rigid taskmaster. I mean, that's not going to... I mean, they need to know that you love them. So you have to reach their heart. That's a goal that you have. For every one of your children, as a mother and as a father, for every one of our children, our goal is to make sure that we have their heart. Why? Why is that important? Because if you have their heart, then guess what won't happen? They won't completely ignore what you say, for the most part, later. And we can be deceived as to think we have their heart and not have it. So we have to work at it. We have to work at it. And when you see things rise up in them and they make you afraid, take it to prayer. Make it an issue of prayer. Make it an issue to pray against and to pray through, and then probe it Don't just overlook it. Don't just act like it's not there. No, I saw that. That's real. Okay, that's real. That's there. I can't overlook that. I have to deal with that. How do I deal with that? I just bring the hammer down on it? No. I find out why it's there. I find out why it's there as a father and a mother. I find out why it's there. Your children are not robots, and neither are you. They're flesh and blood. They have a heart. They have affections. They have emotions. They have problems. They have fears. They have concerns. Right? They have all of it. So how do I do that? Well, you got to talk to them. You got to talk to them. You have to ask them questions. You got to talk to them. You got to find out what's there. That's important. Don't just think because you take them to church, they read their Bible, they memorize scripture, they do these things that, oh, well, everything's going to be fine. That's a good order. But you have a responsibility to probe their heart. You have a responsibility to find out, well, what are your intentions in life? What are you thinking about? What do you think about your future? What do you think about this thing about the scriptures? What do you think about the stand that our family takes here? What do you think about what we do here? What do you think about the future? And how will you raise your children? What do you think about those things? You know, when you see them give a little bit of pushback to you on something that you do, you ask them, well, why does that bother you? Why are you upset about that? Isn't that what God did with Cain? He asked him, why is thy countenance wroth? Or why is thy countenance fallen? Right? Why are you sad? Why are you upset? He asked him, why are you mad? What's got you angry about that? Don't assume that you understand why they're angry about it. Ask them why they're angry about it. You may be totally off base. Well, they just want to be a rebellious little brat. That's all it is. Maybe not. Maybe it's something totally different. You have no clue what it is. And you ain't going to find out until you ask them. One of the things that I've tried to drill into my family with my wife over the last year, especially with our children, is ask, don't assume, and accuse. Ask. Don't accuse them. Don't assume you know the answer and the reason why. Ask them. That's what God does. He asks us. He just asks us. He doesn't accuse us. First, he asks us. Right. He already knows the answer. You might already in your mind think you know the answer, but you ask him anyway. Right. Why? Because that's respectful. That's why it's respectful. If you want them to respect you, you got to respect them. I mean, you don't have to, but you really should. Right? Ask them. Don't accuse them. Ask them. Just ask. Ask questions. Yeah, you're not going to always like the answers they give. And you're going to cringe sometimes and cringe at asking them. Right? You're going to cringe. But that's okay. You get through the awkward stuff. It's fine. Probe their heart before they grow up like a bunch of emotionless or over-emotional basket cases. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then you can marry him off to somebody. Or you don't. One of the two. But it's important that you have their heart. Right? I like what he says here. The severity of a tyrannical parent or master may be productive of much mischief to his tender charge. Youths of a generous disposition may be induced to do anything by kindness, but severity would rouse and harden them into opposition. Too severe. Too harsh. Right? Severity and harshness. You know, if there's one thing that I think all of us need to work on, as parents, as church members, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and all this. One thing that we can work on when it comes to this, one of those things is our responses to others. How we respond. You know, there is nothing wrong, and I'm not talking about the difference between us preaching and doing the things we do, and sometimes we have to rebuke, and I'm not talking. God has provision for all those things. But in general, when you're dealing with people, it's not the same as being on a pulpit or being on the street, or it's different, right? But when we are talking to one another, and in your house especially, you should promote by, number one, your own response, and number two, by your direction, a sweet response to each other. Come on. Where does it say that you have to be harsh to have your children mind and listen to you? Where does it say that you have to be harsh to your wife to direct her of something you would like her to do? Where does it say that a mother has to speak harshly to her children like that? Are there times for it? Yes. Should it be every time? No! If it is, your heart's not right. If it is, you're hard. And you're making them hard. Because a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. So, you know, we can work on our responses, right? In fact, how should we do that? Well, let's do a little exercise here. None of this is in that book, but that's okay because God's dealing with me on this. So, let's do a little exercise here of thought. This is how we could go about procedurally making this, because people always want pastors. You always preach on things, but you never make it apply. So make it apply practically so I can understand it. Let's do that. Here's how we do that, okay? If you find yourself responding harshly to someone in your home, and that was kind of hard, your response, you stop, you ask forgiveness, and you say it again in a kind way. You lead number one by example. And then number two, you make your children do the exact same thing. You stop them and say, that's not the proper way to ask for that. You know, some of you, I'm gonna try to say this nice. So I can be nice. I'm gonna phrase this nicely. Some of you would never accept your children asking for something or speaking the way that you speak to their mother or your wife, or the wife speaks to her husband. You would never allow your children to talk like that. And then you get on them and you tell them and you correct them for it, but you're the one that taught them to speak that way. But they get blasted for it, and you get a pass. But see, you're not getting a pass, because what you're getting is you're getting it thrown up in your face, because you're seeing the way you've responded in your children. Right? And I know I'm hitting home because everybody's quiet. And that's okay. I don't mind that. I like that, actually, because it means you're thinking. And you should be thinking, because it's true. It's true. We have to work on having sweet responses. We don't have to be ugly and nasty people. We shouldn't be that way. There's a time we have to lift up our voice and do it. We understand all that. But for the most part, in our day-to-day affairs and our walking through this life and in our family and our home, that's supposed to be a picture of heaven. Is it a picture of hell? Is there just yelling and fussing and screaming and arguing and discord? Right? Shouldn't be. That means we have to work on that. That means we got to slow down and we got to work on some things. We got to think about how we're responding to each other. And the minute, listen to me, the minute you condone your wrong speaking to your family, you are teaching them to do the same thing. And then you wonder why that little girl or that little boy talks to their brother and sister like that. Well, probably because they hear you talk with that same aggression all the time. Now, it's true. Fathers are going to speak a little more firmly, a little more directly, with a little more passion. That's how they are. I'm very concerned, though, that mothers, and I'm concerned for fathers not just showing their absolute anger when they speak, right? Because we get frustrated sometimes. We do. We get frustrated. That's why we got to slow down, right? Slow down. Back up a little bit. We do that. But let me tell you what I think is a major concern as well. And even maybe even a little more, because you're with them more. Mothers, if they're not careful, their countenance. You really should not, as a mother, unless your child's falling off a cliff, unless they're in trouble, something major, you really shouldn't be seen raising your voice. Unless it's a serious thing. And that's a dangerous thing, right? Like they're getting ready to fall over the steps, or they're getting ready to do this, or they're getting ready to do that. But it shouldn't be your form of correction. Should not be yelling. By the way, neither should ours, guys. Ours shouldn't either. There is a time that a man has to use a commanding voice and do what he does. There's a time for it. There's an appropriate time for it, right? There is. But you know what? If you're raising your voice, then you're not raising your rod properly, ladies. You're not. You're not. You're not. Because the rod speaks louder than your voice. And it should always speak louder than your voice. So there's you have to be careful that you don't lose control. And thereby send this chaotic discord in your home. Because you've already lost control of it. Because you're yelling and you're raising your voice and you're frantic and you're this and you're that. Wait a minute. Who's supposed to be in charge? Who's supposed to be guiding the home, right? It means that there's something wrong with the way that it's being done, right? So we need to be careful about our responses to each other. We need to practice good responses. When our responses are wrong, we need to go back and get them right. I mean right there. We need to slow down and we need to change them. That's the only way you're going to fix it is eating a lot of humble pie. It's the only way. And that pie don't have any Cool Whip on it. It's sugar-free, and it's got a lot of bitter herbs in it. Right? Right? That's the way it is. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. He goes on to say, to perpetually scold them, scolding them and chiding them is not the way to keep up your authority over them. They will consider this a thing of course and soon be tempted to disregard it. To be very frequently striking or beating them for every slight offense would have a natural tendency to stir up their resentment against you and lead them to consider you as their greatest enemies. He's saying that, you know, not every offense is that's necessary. If every offense, that's what you go through right away, I mean, they're just going to be, you're going to make them mad at you. They're going to be, I'll be honest with you, they're going to be a little cage rats. That's what they're going to act like. You got to weigh those things out and use balance with that. And I mean, if you're walking around whapping them all the time, then there's something wrong with the structure and order of what you're doing. I'm going to here to tell you, you're not doing it right. Because that's not the way it is. It shouldn't be beating upon beating, spanking upon, and I mean that in the sense of biblical, that's a spanking. But what I'm saying, there shouldn't be that constantly. No. There's other things you're not doing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's because you can become very cruel quickly with that, and just like children aren't to be disciplined because they annoy you. Because we can all be very annoying. Right? What's that?
You're annoying.
That's right. Paul once annoyed a whole neighborhood. I watched him do it, and a whole high rise. Right? I watched that. Oh, wait, I was there. I didn't watch. I was there live. Anyway, you have to, right. It's for sin. You know, it's for, but it's not for every single thing. You know, that you got to look around at the situation is what he's saying here. You know, and be careful with that. He said, you would then lose their esteem and affection and weaken instead of strengthen your authority over them, which is so necessary to their proper government. The infliction of chastisement requires great prudence and a happy command of temper. That means if you're wailing on your kids like that, if you're spanking them and you're angry, you're the one that needs a spanking. I'll just be real with you. Right? Because if you're whooping them and then you're mad and you're angry and you're kind of yelling and you're, I mean, I watched one time when I was first saved. I didn't watch it. I heard it. But someone, I'm not going to say who it was, but there's nobody here. This is a long time ago. Almost 20 years ago. Man, getting old. But anyway, I heard this man, this father, spanking his son, who was a teenage boy, heard him spanking him. And just because I was upstairs and they were downstairs, but you could hear, the father is yelling louder than the kid is getting whipped. And it's almost like he's taking his anger out on the kid, right? On the child. He's whipping the child and he's yelling at him while he's whipping. And I'm like, okay, so I was newly saved. And you know what I said? Man, that ain't right. I was like, man, that ain't right. That is not right. I knew that was wrong. And I told my wife, I was like, that's wrong. I mean, that's wrong. You can't do that. I mean, I knew that was wrong, right? And I didn't know anything about anything, but I knew that was wrong. I was like, oh, man. Right? What's that? Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah. I mean, he needed somebody to come up behind him and give him a whooping. Right? I mean, it was bad in that sense because... You know, but hey, you know what? I mean, parents are going to, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to do wrong. They're going to sin. Children, you have parents that are sinners. And you've got to love them and pray for them. And when they're wrong, you've got to pray and ask God to help them. Amen? But that's not discipline. And that's what he's talking about. He said he would lose their esteem by showing his weakness before them. For it is a great weakness in any instructor to be often overcome by the impulse of anger. If they're overcome by anger in that, I mean, you're not going to get anywhere. He said, it must be owned that few persons meet with more frequent provocations than those who have a number of children to manage and govern. If such do not check the risings of anger, they will find it grow upon them and become habitual. This would make their own lives very uncomfortable and lead them to sudden acts of cruelty and barbarity, of which they might immediately repent, but in vain. Slight expressions of displeasure or approbation will produce happy effects on children of a meek and tender disposition. A frowning look, a nod of the head, a sharp word will succeed better with such as a corrective than many, many stripes with others. What he's saying is that, you know, teach your children not to disappoint God and not to disappoint you. You teach them that by praising them when they do good and reprimanding them when they do wrong. But if you don't praise them when they do right, you're not going to give them any positive reinforcement, any encouragement. That's not psychobabble. That's just Bible. God praises us when we do good, right? Right? He said to Cain, if thou doest good, you'll be accepted. Children need to know that they do a good job, that they do really good on things, and they need to know that more than they do your critique of every single thing that's not perfect. Stop being so overcritical. It doesn't have to be perfect. And guess what? Neither are you. You don't do everything you think you do perfect either. Right? You think you got that all figured out too, the way you do something, and the way you do it is always the right way. Right? Well, God will show you it's not. It's like he shows me and everybody else that's the way it is. This is real practical, isn't it? Come on. Preach about them Bible correctors, Pastor.
Yeah.
Preach back about that geocentricity, man. Man, it was fun picking on them this morning. But he said, praise and shame will frequently be found to answer the parent's purpose. You know, one of the things that I don't serve the Lord because I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. I serve the Lord because he saved me by his grace and he gave me his spirit. Right? And I want to please God. And one of the most difficult things for me that I ever have to go through in my life is to think that I've displeased the Lord, or I've failed God, right? Or I failed my family, or I failed my church, or I failed my testimony, or I failed my wife. That disappointment bothers me more than any wrath could, right? Or anger could accomplish, right? To live under the fear of something, right? It's worse. It's harder when we disappoint, right? When we disappoint others, right? Praise and shame will frequently be found to answer the parent's purpose. But vice and immorality, idleness and mischief will at times require the rod of correction. I like what he says. There are the reasons for that. He says, vice, immorality, idleness, and mischief. So when they're supposed to be working and doing things that you, and they're not, they're being idle. Why? Because those are things, it's like I told, you know, different principles we're trying to teach. When an accident happens in your house and somebody breaks something, I don't know if that ever happens to you. Right? Never. Right? Never happens. Right? But we have to teach them the difference between accidents and carelessness. Because carelessness is a trait that they'll take with them in life. Accidents, they are always going to happen. They're just going to, right? That's just the life we live, right? Time and chance happen to every man, right? But carelessness is our fault.
Yeah.
Right? Right, negligence. So we need to teach them not to be careless, not to be idle. Your children don't need to sit around all day. They need to be moving and doing stuff, keeping them busy. They need to be working. They need to be doing stuff. They can have some time, but life is not about, like I'm teaching my children, life is not about you playing. Yes, you need play time. They need time to do that. But the bulk of your life is not play. It's structured and it's work. Why? Because you're training them to grow up to be adults. Well, how do you train them? You don't train them when they're 18 to be an adult. You train them now.
Right.
You don't wait until they're out in the workforce. They say, man, I didn't know nothing. Right? You train them now to work, to be responsible, to take care of their stuff. Right? I try to tell my son and daughter, you know, learn on my dime so you don't have to learn on yours, okay? That's God's grace.
Amen.
All right? You break the stuff of someone who loves you. Not someone who doesn't love you. Okay? So learn not to break my stuff by breaking my stuff. But so then one day, you know what? You'll be careful. Right? You'll be careful. That's what he's saying. Right? Children must not be suffered to walk in the way of their own heart, but be trained up in the way they should go. At any rate, the fertile soil must not be uncultivated or covered with noxious weeds. See, if you don't do anything at all, weeds grow up.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything to that buckthorn out there. If I don't touch it, guess what? It's going to grow, and more deer are going to hide in there. But that's what happens, right? It's just going to grow on its own, right? It's just, no one had to plant that there, right? No one has to plant it now. You don't have to plant weeds in a garden, do you? Nope, they come up on all their own. So if you have a field, you have children, they are a fruitful field, and that's what God has given you, right? And if you do nothing with them, the noxious weeds will grow up around them and in them. By doing nothing, you can easily send them to hell. By doing nothing. Nothing. I mean, obviously, we know their own sin sends them to hell, but what I'm saying is that you'll help them get there by doing nothing. Well, I didn't beat them, and I wasn't mean to them. I didn't cuss them out. I didn't abuse them or anything like that. Well, yeah, but what did you do? Well, all those weeds grew up because you didn't do anything. See? As severity is ever to be condemned, so is an excess of lenity is not less pernicious. It is an ancient rule and which has received the sanction of experience in every age. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. When leniency and softness are ill-judged, they are in effect cruelty. It's cruel. Listen, that shooter, that boy, they took him out. His parents bought a Sig Sauer, and his mom took him to the range. There's nothing wrong with that. None of that bothers me at all, one bit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking... I mean, we go to gun safety classes, right? We go shoot guns. We learn to shoot guns, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That didn't derange that boy. That didn't make that boy that way, right? But what did their indulgence of him? He texted and he said, while he was supposed to be in school, he was on his phone looking for ammunition while he was in class, while he was supposed to be learning. And what did his mom do? She sent, and the parents sent, or the teacher sent home now and said, your son's looking up ammunition and he's not doing his schoolwork. So what does the mom do? The mom texts the boy and says, LOL. I'm not mad at you. You just have to learn not to get caught. So, I mean, I don't even think it's a big deal that he was looking at ammunition. It's the timing he was looking at ammunition. What does that teach him proper respect? Well, let me ask you a question. You homeschool. If your son is supposed to be working on his report, and then you look over there working on his schoolwork, and you look over, and he's playing video games, or he's on the internet, he's watching videos, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, LOL, just don't get caught, son? No, you're going to be like, son, you just got caught. Right? Why? Because that doesn't teach him discipline. So when he grows up in the workforce, and Paul, he's a lineman, and he's up there working, and he's up there in the bucket, and he's on his cell phone. Right? It's on a cell phone, right? Dangerous. Or he's driving some big semi, and he's texting or something, right? Or his car or whatever it is, right? So are we going to teach them responsibility? It's not. I look. The boogeyman's not the ammunition. It's not the gun. It's not any of those things. It's the heart. They indulge that kid. You can tell that from a few texts. That's not the proper way that you tell. If they're disrespecting their teachers, which we know they shouldn't be in public school anyway because it's worthless, but state school, right, Paul? State school. That's what Paul said. State school. But if they're in school like that, then they should be respectful to their teachers, right? They should be respectful. And what did he do? Teach him? He taught him to disrespect. They taught him to disrespect, to disregard any authority. And then he disregarded theirs, didn't he?
Right.
Because he taught him to do it.
Right.
They taught him to do it. And the teachers are like, he's writing notes saying he's going to, like, kill people and stuff. And then they didn't bother to tell the people at school that, well, this kid's got a gun. I mean, he's shooting a gun. And on a Facebook page, it's all blast. The point is, what did they do to him? They were too lenient on him. If you're too lenient on a child like that, and you just let them disrespect authority and everything else, then they're going to grow up to do that. Not maybe not that, but worse things, you know, or other things. Right? An ancient writer has justly observed that impunity is the greatest enticement to the commission of offenses. Right? When sentence against, what is it, a judgment is not executed? No. Exactly. So because you don't teach them right and wrong, and you don't teach those children to do that, what happens? They do wrong. They do wrong, and they know they're going to get away with it. You wonder why you said, that's the third time I've told you not to do that. Well, that's the third time you told them it was okay to disobey. Right? You told them it was okay to disobey you three times. You already told them it was okay to disobey you. That's what that is. Experience shows that parental authority may be weakened and the tempers of children spoiled either by an excess of lenity or severity. The golden mean between the two extremes is the safest path. Provoke not children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Severity may bear down and break their spirits. Leniency, on the other hand, is amiable. The motives to it are noble, but much may be said in its praise, and the advocates for it will find an attentive audience. Yet leniency carried to an undue degree frequently involves the objects of it in misery and perdition. We have, alas, too many examples of this. Human nature is at every stage of life prone to evil, and particularly so at the time when to inherit depravity are when inherent depravity are added, weakness of understanding and want of thought and experience, which is the case with all of our young offspring. In order to maintain proper authority and to keep them in due subjection, proper methods must be devised of influencing the hopes and fears of children, and these methods must be accommodated to their different dispositions. Wisdom is profitable to direct. And I'm not going to finish this, but I am going to stop right now, and we'll finish it next week. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, I don't mind doing that, really, because there's some good points in this. Leniency, too much leniency, right? And too much rigidness. You know, you have to pray and ask God to teach you the balance in that, right? Of where that the answer to that is, right? And to be careful and to be cautious. We look at those children like that, and if you don't teach the children, I'm going to tell you what, the school system and all of them, he's a product of that school system. He's a product of the religion of the beast. That boy that killed those kids, that's what they made. That's their product. That's what their religion produces, right? And it's not contrary to what they believe. They believe and teach survival of the fittest. Well, there you go. That's the gospel of the beast. That's what they taught him. They taught him that babies aren't really babies, and boys aren't really boys, and girls aren't really girls. And you could be whatever you want to be. So he said, okay, I want to be a killer. And he went in and killed people. Isn't that what they taught him? Right. I know, people get mad at me for saying things like that, but that's just the truth. That's what they taught him. That's what their religion teaches. That's all he did was take evolution to its plausible and reasonable end. Survival of the fittest. Is it not the religion of the state school? Is it not their religion? Wasn't he just practicing it? Right? I mean, what do you expect when you teach children they come from animals? And then you lock them up a year ago. And you take their school away from them. You lock them into cages, tell them they can't go anywhere in Michigan. By the way, this happened in Michigan. We had this one of the most strictest COVID lockdowns ever. You don't think that had anything to do with it? And I'll tell you another thing that they won't talk about that I'm waiting to hear anything about. And that's whether that kid was on psychotropics or not. Because you want to know what the real dangerous weapon is in it all? For the most part, in most of those shootings, psychotropics. That's the weapon nobody wants to talk about. Well, why is that? Well, because all the news agencies have their commercial funding by the pharmaceutical companies. Alex Jones wasn't wrong when he screamed out, murder, mass suicide pills! He was actually right about that.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, I can't make the voices stop. Yeah, or the thoughts in my head. He needed help. No. No. And a lot of times that's drug-induced. Or both. Right, and devils prey on those things. You bet they are. That number, go back and look at the number of drugs that have went up in COVID. The amount of kids that are on psychotropics now. The amount of kids with suicidal thoughts. The amount of kids with all those things. And where do you trace it back to? All of it, yeah. All of it. Why? Well, they fed all those kids that. And they know it, too. And that's the thing. They know it. They know it. So, but we have to be different. We have to be biblical. We have to raise our children biblically. We have a duty before God. All of us do as church members here, by the way. You may not have a child, but you have a duty to these children. You have a duty to pray for these children. You have a duty to lift their names up in prayer. You have a duty to be a good, godly church member and to be a good, godly example to them. We all have a duty. None of us are exempt from it. We all have a responsibility. Owe no man anything but to love one another, right? We have that responsibility. Father, Lord, thank you. We pray you'd help us to live up to what you'd have us to do, Lord, and help us and strengthen us, Lord. We know there's nothing good in our flesh, but we know that your spirit dwells in us. And Lord, we know we need you. And we just praise you and we thank you for your word. Father, help us to follow it. Help us to be obedient. Help us to love our children. Help us to show them the truth. Help us to guide them, to probe their hearts, to ask them questions, to reach their heart, and give us Holy Spirit guidance and direction to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.